Keep up to date with the past on the 100 Years Ago Show with Mark Stein.
A royal wedding, a big screen bigamist, and a toxic oyster. It's June 1922.
100 years from today.
News update. There is nothing like a royal wedding to enthrall a nation, especially when it's a brand new nation, such as the Kingdom of Serbs, Croats and Slovenes, created in the ruins of the Austro-Hungarian Empire. King Alexander ascended to the throne last year, and 100,000 of his loyal subjects turned out in the grim reign of Belgrade to watch him proceed through the streets to the small cathedral to wed Princess Maria, daughter of King Ferdinand of Romania. As a prince, Alexander is said to have been in love with the Russian Grand Duchess Tatiana and to have never recovered from her murder by the Bolsheviks. Still, he looked happy enough at the lavish wedding celebrations and is said to be gratified by the attendance of most of Europe's ruling houses, which he regards as signifying their acceptance of his family despite its peasant origins. Elsewhere, the messy aftermath of the Great War continues. We have reported on recent Ukrainian demonstrations protesting the Polish military occupation of formerly Habsburg Galicia. But sometimes you don't need soldiers shooting. In Lvov, that's the Polish name, you may still think of it as Lemberg in German, a motor truck was passing two three-story buildings in the city. Both collapsed from the vibrations and buried at least 40 persons in the rubble, most of whom are reported dead. The former German foreign minister, Philipp Scheidemann, has survived an assassination attempt while at a holiday resort at Wilhelmshöhe with his daughter and granddaughter. A young assailant hurled prussic acid at Herr Scheidemann, who responded by loosing off two pistol shots at his attacker before passing out. The thwarted killer escaped through the woods and reached the nearby railway station, bound for who knows where. The socialist leader is said to have fully recovered. The so-called trial of the socialist revolutionaries is underway in Moscow. In the dock, 12 members of the Central Committee, led by Abram Gotz of the anti-Bolshevik Socialist Revolutionary Party. The outcome is not in doubt. It is the first of what Comrade Lenin calls demonstrative trials, or a process making an example. Aima Kajanda has accepted an invitation to become Prime Minister of Finland. If you follow Finnish politics and have never heard of Mr. Kajanda, that's because he's a botanist and professor of forestry who has no previous experience of politics. We shall see how this works out. The Greco-Turkish war goes on. The Greek Navy's armoured cruiser, Georgios Averof, has shelled the Turkish city of Samsun, prompting the Ottoman government to order the deportation of all Greek residents from Turkey's western towns and villages. The aforementioned King Ferdinand has signed a general amnesty for 213 members of the Romanian Communist Party convicted of sedition last year. Excluded from the amnesty are another 48 communists accused of high treason, military espionage, or terrorist attacks. Count István Bethlen's Unity Party has won a huge majority in the Hungarian parliament, so he will be staying on as prime minister. A close ally of the regent, Admiral Horthy, he is also known to the twice aforementioned King of Romania. It was Count Bethlen who just 3 years ago rejected a personal union of Hungary and Romania under King Ferdinand. Japan has ratified the Shandong Treaty, which is intended to improve relations with China. Under the treaty, Japan will withdraw its troops from the Shandong province in return for China providing protection of foreign construction workers building the Xingyu Railway between Shanghai and Peking. Speaking of which, Peking has as a new China boy. Zhu Zhixiang, longest-serving president of the so-called warlord era, but a man who favors the restoration of the monarchy, has been forced out. Acting Prime Minister Chao Suqi has been promoted to acting president of the Republic of China. The Royal Irish Constabulary has been the unitary police force for the whole of Ireland for a century. But given that the governing party in the north, the Ulster Unionist Party, has made the governing party in the south, Sinn Féin, illegal, and its members subject to arrest, a unitary force does not seem terribly practical. So this month, the Royal Ulster Constabulary assumes its duties as the successor police in the north to the RIC. The state of Colorado doesn't care where the silvery Colorado River wends its way, but they do care about the wending of the Laramie River, which they decided to divert. That caused a problem for the state of Wyoming downstream, which relied on the Laramie for water. So Wyoming sued Colorado. The U.S. Supreme Court has now ruled that Colorado's authority over the Laramie River is limited by the needs of people downstream, so they cannot divert in such a way as will impact Wyoming. This is a case of original jurisdiction by the Supreme Court, so there is talk of an appeal. There may yet be a lot of water under the bridge before we're done.
Love her by radio. You will find it radio. If you want to reach your heart's desire, you won't have to send her word by wire.
You can now love her by radio in Rhode Island, which has its first radio station, WEAN in Providence, promising interesting and enjoyable news and entertainment every Monday and Wednesday evening. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the acclaimed creator of Sherlock Holmes, has appeared before a meeting of the Society of American Magicians at the Hotel McAlpin in New York. He showed them a preview of a forthcoming picture made from his novel, The Lost World. The stunned audience watched scenes of terrifyingly lifelike dinosaurs, a family of triceratops, an attack by an allosaurus, and some shots of a stegosaurus. Sir Arthur challenged the assembled illusionists to figure out how he had created the scenes. Some appeared to think the dinosaurs must be real. Others asserted they could not be so, but as fakes, they were masterpieces.
You know you belong to somebody else, so why don't you leave me alone? You know someone else has a claim to your heart, and you should consider before you start.
Rudolph Valentino doesn't technically belong to somebody else. He is divorced from his wife, but under a quirk of California law, he hasn't been divorced from her long enough in order to belong to anybody else. So he has been arrested for bigamy and appeared in court in Los Angeles for a preliminary hearing on the charge. The room was packed with fans, almost all female spectators, suggesting that whatever the judgment on his new marriage, there is no shortage of women eager to belong to him. The Bolshevik regime has a new government agency known as Glavlit, which is short for Glavnoy Upravpevshny Podelam Literaturi I Ishtatelst, or the main administration for literary and publishing affairs. We think that's a somewhat roundabout way of saying it's the Department of Government Book Censorship. You may find it easier to take your art abroad. Mavra, a one-act opera composed by Igor Stravinsky, produced by Sergei Diaghilev, and based on a Pushkin story, has just received its premiere at the Paris Opera.
How you gonna keep 'em down on the farm after they've seen Paris? How you gonna keep them away from Broadway, jazzing around and painting the town. How you gonna keep them away from harm? That's a mystery. They'll never want to see a rake or plow. And who the deuce can polyboo a cow? How you gonna keep them down on the farm after they've seen Harry?
How are you going to keep him down on the farm? Maybe by giving the farmer a better deal on his automobile insurance. Retired farmer and tractor salesman George Mesherly has organised a mutual insurance company in Bloomington, hoping to lower rates in central Illinois. The enterprise is to be called the State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. Do you want the government owning the oil and gas, YPF SA, or Yacimientos Petrolíferos Fiscales? That means petroleum deposit production, is an Argentine corporation for oil and gas exploration, production and distribution that has just been incorporated in Buenos Aires. It is the first oil company in the world to be owned entirely by the government.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. Wait till you get them up in the air.
Wait till you get them up in the air, boys. You can now fly them to the British colony of Mauritius, an island in the Indian Ocean, some 1,200 miles from Africa's eastern coast, and until this month, accessible only by sea. But now an airplane has touched down for the first time. Getting up in the air is easy. Staying up there is trickier. Two aviators of the Portuguese Navy, Gago Coutinho and Sasha Dura Cabral, have completed the first aerial crossing of the South Atlantic Ocean, arriving in Pernambuco in Brazil 67 days after their departure from Lisbon. It was an uneventful flight until they approached the South American mainland and lost their airplane. They procured a replacement and then lost that. Third time's the charm, and they intend to fly on to Rio de Janeiro. We wish better luck to the Norwegian explorer Roald Amundsen. He has sailed from Seattle to Alaska on the start of an expedition to the North Pole. The British expedition up Mount Everest has been called off after an avalanche killed 7 of the 17 Nepalese Sherpas carrying the supplies. The Argentine steamer Villa Franca was transporting tourists to Iguazu Falls when it suddenly exploded and sank off the coast of Paraguay near Hohenau. The blast occurred at 1:40 in the morning, and the vessel sank so quickly that the passengers had no time to dress or to get their life belts. 80 are said to be dead. Be careful with those oysters. Take Ionescu was an influential political figure and served as a short-lived prime minister at the beginning of this year. However, while visiting Naples, he ordered the oysters. One of them is believed to have been infected, as Mr. Ionescu discovered after leaving the city when he was stricken by typhoid. He has died in Rome, and his body will be returned to Bucharest for burial. Take Ionescu was 63. John Moses Cheney was a Florida lawyer who believed in voter registration drives for Negroes. That infuriated the Democrats who control his state. He served as a federal judge in Florida for just 6 months in a recess appointment by President Taft, but the Senate declined to take up his nomination. Mr. Cheney is dead at 63. W.H.R. Rivers was an English anthropologist, neurologist, and psychiatrist, best known for treating traumatized officers in the late war and getting them back to the front. Among them was Siegfried Sassoon, who put Dr. Rivers in a poem. Oh, Rivers, please take me and make me go back to the war till it break me. He was recently named a parliamentary candidate for the Labour Party, but was taken ill with a strangulated hernia in his rooms after sending his manservant off to enjoy a fine summer evening. By the time he was found, it was too late and he knew it, but he generously gave his last hours to approving a diploma in anthropology for a young undergraduate from India. W.H.R. Rivers is dead at 58. Phoebe Sudlow was a pioneering teacher who became the first female school superintendent in the United States, appointed unanimously by the Davenport School Board in Iowa. She subsequently became the first female president of the Iowa State Teachers Association and the first female professor at the University of Iowa, despite having no university degree herself. Miss Sudlow is dead at 90. Henry Oxnard was the founder of the American Beet Sugar Company and the president of the American Beet Sugar Association and a major force in the sugar industry across the United States. The town of Oxnard in California is named for him. He is dead at 61. Lillian Russell was a girl from Iowa who became the most famous woman on the American stage and the preeminent star of Broadway operetta. Hers was the first voice heard on a long-distance telephone call when Alexander Graham Bell asked her to sing her song from the Grand Duchess of Gerolstein down the line from New York to Boston. Tiffany made her a gold-plated bicycle with mother-of-pearl handlebars and her initials spelled out in diamonds on the spokes. She rode it wearing a cream serge cycling suit with leg-of-mutton sleeves and a skirt shortened by 3 inches, which became a fashion sensation. Much married, she found time to be the companion of Diamond Jim Brady for 4 decades. Earlier this year, Miss Russell agreed to take a trip to Europe on behalf of President Harding to investigate emigration to the United States. She recommended a 5-year moratorium on immigration and a minimum of 21 years residency before naturalization and citizenship. Only the useless, said Miss Russell, are seeking to come to the United States. The immigration of recent years has been from that class of people which arrests rather than aids the development of any nation. Her ideas are said to be having great influence on proposed immigration legislation. Alas, she injured herself on the return voyage from Europe. An infection developed which very quickly proved fatal. Stage Lillian Russell is dead at 61. And that's the way of the world, June 1922.
100 years from today, 100 years from today.
The 100 Years Ago Show is a production of Markstein Enterprises and O'Kill Media. All rights reserved.